Okay, so Rabbi Akiva will tell you that the Rabbi Akiva will tell you Hani Gzeira Shava, the fact that there is the Gzeira Shava of the word Avia Avia, that tells me that this is not talking about a case of a single Bat Kohen, a Bat Kohen who's married. And then he'll tell you Bahani Bas Ubas, the fact that it could have said Bat Kohen, the fact that it said Ubat Kohen, the extra Vav, the Rabos is Hanasua, to include a woman who not only has betrothal, but a Bas Kohen who's fully married. And Rabbi Shmuel's of the opinion, Bas Ubas, from the fact that Rabbi Akiva is saying it should have said Bas, and it said Ubas, that must mean that you are changing your mind. You're no longer using the Gzeira Shava. If you're no longer using the Gzeira Shava, then every daughter of a Kohen, even a daughter of a Kohen who's a single, should be included in this. So now the Gemara asks, and Rabbi Yishmael, hi, bas, ubas, my darish bay. What does he interpret from the fact that the Torah could have said bat ish Kohen, and it said ubat ish Kohen? What does he learn from the extra above? He needs it l'kidatani avui d'Shmuel bar Avin. He needs it for what was taught by the father of Shmuel bar Avin. The following quote: the fish of atzina shachile shachala kakasu bischar between mubali mumin. We know in regards to service in the Beis Hamikdash, the Torah distinguishes between a kohen who is full and a kohen who has a blemish. If a kohen is missing a limb, he can't do the service in the Beit HaMikdash. So maybe he doesn't have Kedushat Kuhuna. Yachol nachlok b'bno tehem. Maybe the daughters of Kohanim too, that if they have a if there's a girl who's a Baalat Mum, maybe if she's married and she's disloyal, she doesn't get the severe punishment. Tam Aloma, that's what the Pasuk says. It should have said Bat Kohen. It said Ubat, the extra Vav, is to include even a woman who is a Baalat Mum. And Rabbi Akiva, how does he learn that halacha? He'll learn it. Rabbi Akiva will learn it for the following pasuk. The pasuk says, "Ki et lechem elokehem he makrivim v'hayu kodesh." The extra word, they are the extra words v'hayu kodesh, teaches me that even a kohen who has a blemish is still considered a kohen. And so too with a kohen, a female kohenet who has a blemish. Rabbi Yishmael will tell you, imeahi, if that would have been the source, havamina hanimi liinu, that's true about the males. Avu benotehen lo, but not the girls. Kamashwa, that's only the extra vav of the word ubat. So now the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yishmael, hi, esavia himachalelas my darishpe. What does he do with the words esavia himachalelas? Rabbi Akiva uses it for the Gzeira Shava. What does Rabbi Yishmael use it for? He doesn't need a Gzeira Shava. He just compares the death of a. He just compares the death of a Bas Yisrael to the death of a Bas Kohen. So, what does he do with the words Esaviyahim Achalelas? My answer is me, Bayalei Lekidatanya. He needs it for the following Brysa. As we looked at a Brysa. Hi, Omer used to say, Matam Alom Esaviyahim Achalelas. What do we learn from the fact that the Torah says that when a Bat Kohen is Mizana, she's desecrating her father? It means the following. How you know, Gimbo Kodesh, if they used to treat him with holiness, they used to treat him with a lot of respect and make him do things first. Now, Noagin Bochol, if his daughter misbehaved like this, they treat him like a secular being. They don't give him any added respect. If they used to give him kavod, they used to give him honor, now Noagin Bo Bizayon, now they give him shame. Omen, they walk around and they say, Arur, cursed is this one, Shazu Yolad, that he gave birth to such a girl. Arur, cursed is this one, Shazu Gidel, that he raised such a daughter. Arur, cursed is the one, Shiyatzazu Michalatza, that this one came out of him. Amr Rav Ashi said, from this lesson of Rabbi Meir, we learn an important lesson. Kaman Karina Rishia Bar Rishia, Afilu Rishia ben Tzadika. Who is it that we are, are we following and we will call a wicked person, wicked one, son of wicked one? Right? His father's not so bad.
Uh-uh.
But what's our source to call a wicked person, say that his father's a Rasha? Come on, Kai Tana. It's like this Tana. It's like the Tana, Rabbi Meir, who says, Saviyah Yimachalelis teaches us this point, that if someone is, if the girl misbehaves, that already gives license to insult and to disgrace the father. Okay.
Kids have already done bad. It's over.
Yeah.
And it might have been out of his hands or whatever. It's like,
so maybe there's a lesson there. Certainly in regards to marital immodesty, that perhaps Hashem expects parents to train children to have good modesty, and if the children are misbehaving, it's also partially the fault of the parent. And so therefore, even though the parent seems to be very righteous, the fact that he has such a child is licensed to call the father names.
But normally I'm saying you rebuke so much they do tshuva. Here you rebuke the person, what's he going to do, the kids?
Maybe you're rebuking him so that others learn not to go down that road, to deter others from allowing their children to misbehave like this.
But when we had the Gezer Shabbat, you said that it would exclude the unmarried woman, but the unmarried woman doing his news, I mean, it's not like a married woman.
Correct. But there is some, according to Rebbe Lesser, as we saw, there is a ramification in regards to a woman that she shouldn't marry a Kohen anymore. But you're right, it's not the same thing. Not the child, this is other people who would. When she's disloyal, right, she's harming her father. That's right. The Torah has a strict punishment sometimes. There are four types of death that certain sins can get. Either the death of being stoned to death, skiva, or the death of srefa, of hot lead being poured down a throat, or chenek, choked to death, or saif. So finally we'll see now it's clear, saif is beheading, as we've discussed.
Oh,
so the Mishnah said, "Zo mitzvata niskalim." Till this point was the mitzvah of how to give stoning. So the Gemara asks, "My Tana, what is the Tana saying?" Dikatani, that he's suddenly saying, "Zo mitzvah niskalim." This is the mitzvah of stoning, or those who are stoned. So the Gemara explains. Ishum Detana, because till this point we've been explaining Nigmar Adin after the conclusion of the court case, and there's a conviction, and they vote to kill the person who was accused. So when the court case is finished, Motziino told Lissoklo, they take him out to stone him. And then we learn Beitaskilaya Gavoa Shte Komot, the building from which they would throw him off was two floors high. So therefore, since we've said how to do stoning, it says, okay, that's the end of the mitzvah of stoning. I did a kabbalah mitzvah sadisraf. And since the next Mishnah is to teach us of the procedure of how to pour the hot lead, tananami zu mitzvah sadiskalim. That's what it said. Till this point is the mitzvah of how to stone. And now we're going to go on to the mitzvah of how to pour down the hot lead with people like the Bat Kohen, or a daughter-in-law who has intercourse with her father-in-law, according to some, etc. Or a daughter with her father, certainly that's the case.
Why they don't talk about this spiritual death? This is one of the death too, no? Isn't it? One?
That's called kares, and that comes up elsewhere. But here we're talking about the responsibilities
physical
of the court.
Physical right now, we're talking here.
Yeah, what the court has to do.
And Rabbi, we call this mitzvahs. Carrying out these
apparently, right? It's a mitzvah on the court to carry it out. Very good point, right? Even though it's a harsh thing, it is a mitzvah on the court to carry out these sentences so that people will learn and that people will stay away from
criminal behavior, from crime, and from all of these sins, and the community will be elevated because of that.
This is in Tanya?
Yes, one of the 613 mitzvos. So the next Mishnah, mitzvah sanisrafin. What is the mitzvah of pouring the hot lead down the throat of, let's say, a father who slept with his daughter? Hayu mishakin oto bezevel ad arkuvotav. They used to sink him into manure until his knees. The reason why they put him into this thick pile of manure, the victim, the criminal, is because we don't want him to move. We want him to sort of be stuck, because if he moves around, maybe the hot lead will spill on his body instead of going down the throat. And the point was that it should go down the throat and not to maim him. The point was to kill him. Then, v'nosnin sudar kasha l'toch haraka. They would put a hard, who was they? The two witnesses who saw the event. They're the ones who have to carry out the death penalty, as the Rambam explains. They know with certainty what happened. Other people don't know it as clearly, so they're the ones who have to do it. So they take a hard scarf in, and they put it into a soft scarf. So why do they use this? Why do they have a soft scarf covering the hard scarf? Because a hard scarf, if it's pulled on two sides, might tear apart the throat. That's not right. So rather, it's wrapped in a soft scarf. But if it would only be a soft scarf, it wouldn't necessarily force open the mouth. So there's a hard scarf inside, which is tough, and surrounding it is a soft scarf so that it doesn't actually... similar, right? So it doesn't actually cut the throat, but it does put pressure on the throat. So then you have the two witnesses. Note in Sudar Kasha L'toch Haraka, the Korech Al Tzavaro, and they wrap this around the throat of this convicted criminal. Zemo Sheikh Etzlo, Zemo Sheikh Etzlo. One witness pulls the scarves to himself, the other witness pulls the scarves to himself. Ache Poseach his piv, till it forces open the mouth of the criminal. Then umadlik etapsila. Then he lights on fire. He melts the lead.
You don't want to be guilty, guys.
Vizorka letoch piv, and he throws the lead into this mouth. Vioredes letoch meyav. It goes down into his intestines. Vichomeres es b'nei meyav, and it shrinks all of the intestines and stomach and all that's there, and he dies.
Rabbi, here they translate, they light the wick and throws it into his mouth.
We're going to see in the Gemara that Psila here refers to the lead.
Is it a solid?
It says here also wick, but it says later.
Is it a solid or a liquid?
It's a liquid. I guess there's a wick that's lighting the lead, but... ultimately, the lead is being heated. The lead is heated to being...
they can give him a drink before, he shouldn't feel...
Yeah, sure. Baruch will give him a l'chaim.
That's l'chaim.
Other way. Kiddush too.
Rabbi Yehuda says, this is not a good procedure. Why? Because afu imes biyadam, lo makayim bo mitzvah sveifa. They're going to use scarves to force open the mouth. Maybe they pull it too hard, and then they don't fulfill the mitzvah of death through burning, but it was actually choking. So what do they do? He opens up the mouth with mitzvat, with a pair of tweezers. Shalom b'tovaso, it's not what he wants. Obviously, he doesn't want to open his mouth. They just force open the mouth. Then umadlika sapsila, then he lights the wick, which heats up the lead. The zarka letoch piv, and he throws it into his mouth. Vioredes letoch meyav, it goes down into his intestines. The chomeres is pnei meyav, and it shrinks the intestines. Amar Rebbe Lazar, b'Rebbe Tzadok, Rebbe Lazar, the son of Rebbe Tzadok, said,
yeah.
But 1 second, Maaseh b'vas kohen achas. There was a story with a woman who was a daughter of a kohen.
yeah.
who was married, Shazinta, and she was disloyal to her husband.
Yeah.
And the witnesses warned her, and she did it right with that, right within the warning. And they surrounded her with packages of reeds. This sarfua, they lit the whole thing on fire. So that's not, that sort of, you know, Izzy's calling it real burning, but that's not the burning that we've been discussing here. Amrulo, the sages responded to him, that was not done right. The report that you saw was not correct in the law. They didn't know the law. During the times of the Second Temple, there was a very large group of Jews called Tzedokim. They were called Tzedokim because they were students of a rabbi Tzedok, and they had become heretics. They denied the basis of Jewish faith. They did not believe that the soul lives on in the next world. And in addition to not believing that the soul lives on in the next world, they denied the fact that the Torah has an oral dimension, that their rabbis interpret the Torah the right way. They said, no, we're going to interpret the Torah the way we want. There was no oral tradition given at Sinai. So the Torah says, Ubat ish kohen ki techel liznot et aviyahim mechalelet ba'esh tisareif. The Torah says she should be burned in fire. They said, okay, we make a big bonfire, and we throw her in the middle of the bonfire. But that's not the correct. We have a tradition based on how to interpret verses. That's not what it means. Ba'esh tisareif means that through fire you heated up lead, and the lead was poured down her throat. It's a much nicer way of dying than to be burned in a pyre. But they didn't accept those traditions, so I saw once a fire. So the rabbi said to him, yeah, but you saw it from a court that was not expert. You saw it from a court of Tzedokim. So they don't accept Jewish law. They don't interpret Jewish law the right way. So they did it the wrong way. But that doesn't mean that that's in fact the law. So now the Gemara asks, my psila, what is this wick? So Amar of Masna psila shel Aver, the wick of lead.
Rabbi, it sounds more like a dripping of lead in the throat rather than a pouring. With this idea of a wick, it sounds like something, you know, it's a long, thin piece of lead, the shape of a wick, which is melted and poured into the intestines, but it sounds more like dripping.
Maybe like mercury.
If we're melting it at the same time that it's...
No, I think it was a long piece of lead that was heated and then poured down. I don't know that it was dripped. Because you want to get the death done quickly. So now the Gemara says, Minalan, how did the rabbis know that that's what the meaning of burning is? It's not the normal, literal meaning of burning. So the Gemara explains, we have a rule called Gzeira Shava. Sometimes we have the same word in two different contexts. So Asya, here we derive Srefa Srefa, burning from burning. Me Adas Korach, there was the story in the Torah of a rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu, Korach, who... got 250 rabbis to join him in rebelling against Moshe and Aaron, and there was a test where those people had to bring ketoret, and a fire came and consumed them. So Mala Halan, just look over there. It was Sreifat Neshama of a Guf Kayam. The fire burned their souls, but their bodies were still in existence. Afkan, so too over here, Sreifat Neshama of a Guf Kayam. It's a fire or a heat that's going to burn the soul, namely hot lead, but the body will be okay.
Rabbi, I thought the earth opened up and swallowed them, the Korach and the 200.
Families of Korach, but the 250 were killed by the fire that
by the fire? Yeah.
Rebbe Lazar said a different source. Asya, again, there's a Gzeira Shava. We derive the word Sreifa, burning, here from another time where the Torah used the word Sreifa. Ibn Aaron, from the two sons of Aaron, Nadav and Abihu, who also brought in an inappropriate ketoret, and a fire consumed them. The Malahalam, when the fire burned them, it was Srefas Neshama. The fire went into their soul. It burned out their soul. The Guf Kaim and the body still existed. Afkan, so to hear Srefas Neshama with the hot lead, the soul is burned out, but the Guf Kaim, but the body continues to exist. Says the Gemara, Madi Elof Me'adas Korach, Minale, the one who derived it from the Korach group, what's his source? So the Gemara answers that over there it was not a fire that burned the bodies, it was a fire just getting rid of the soul. because the verse says, "Vesmachtos hachatoyim ma'ele b'nafsho sam," and the pans of these sinners who sin with their souls. In other words, shenishmasam nisrefes, something happened to their soul. Their soul was burnt out. The guf kayam, but their bodies were still in existence. V'idach and Rebbe Lazar, who preferred to learn from Nadav and Abihu, what's he going to say? Why doesn't he learn from the group of Korach? He'll say, no, that fire was a sreifa mamash. It was a real fire that burned also the bodies. My benafsho sam, so why did the Torah say that they were sinning with their souls? Shenishayvu sreifa, they were deserving of this burning, because al iske nafsho sam, because of the matters that went into their souls. In other words, what led them to join Korach? They allowed Korach to sweet talk them through eating and drinking. So then they became part of his group. Kidresh Lakish, like Resh Lakish taught us. Amish Rakish, Resh Lakish said. My Dechsev, what's the meaning of the verse? Bechanfei, through the flattery of La'age Ma'og, of those scoffers who are eating like cakes. Charok Olayshi Nemo, he bared against me his teeth. Veshvil Chanufa Sheikhnifu L'Korach Aliski L'Gima, because of the flattery that they had given to Korach, because of the drink that Korach was giving food, and he was giving alcohol, so they wanted to be on his good side. So then they joined him, and Charak Aleim Sar Shel Gehenom Shinav, and then therefore the angel of Gehenom was able to bare his teeth against them. In other words, why does the verse say that they were sinning with their souls? Not that they were punished with a fire that only attacked their soul. The fire attacked their body as well. But the idea of sinning with their souls is that what caused them to have this punishment is food that went into the soul. And food that goes into the soul is they were eating with Korach, and that's why they joined Korach's group. Now,
Rabbi, what is the difference between spiritual death and burning of soul? Isn't that the same?
What's the difference between what?
Spiritual death and burning the soul.
Burning of soul means that the body is okay, but the person's not alive anymore.
Inside out.
Spiritual death might mean something else. Something's happening to the soul in heaven. Here the soul was chased out.
Here it says burning the soul. What does that mean, burning the soul?
Burning the soul means that the life was burned out on the inside.
The body still
you cannot
the body was intact on the outside.
You cannot burn the
life was burned
neshama.
Out.
No, you cannot touch
so the now the Gemara asks, if the source, that the definition of burning here is something internal, just like Nadav and Avihu, their burning was internal. Minale, how do we know that the burning of Nadav and Avihu was internal? The verse says, a fire came out from before God, it consumed them, and they died in front of God. It doesn't say that they were burned, it says that they died in front of God. So that tells you, their death was like normal death. And the other opinion will tell you that why did he learn from the sons of Aaron? Because the sons of Aaron, that was a literal burning. It was a fire that actually consumed them and burned their bodies too. So why did it say that and they died? Why didn't it say vayisrafu, they were burned? This fire started on the inside, came misa like death, and then it consumed them fully. Tiny word in a brisa, Abba Yossi ben Dustoy Omer, Abba Yossi the son of Dustoy said, Shnei chutin shel eish, yatsu mi beis kodesh hakodashim, Two threads of fire exited from the innermost sanctum, the holiest of holies. V'nechleku la'arba, they got divided into four. V'nichnasu, and they entered, shnayim b'chotam ha'shozet, two in the nostrils of this one. U'shnayim b'chotam ha'shozet, two in the nostrils of this one. U'srafum, and they burned the sons of Aaron. So that means that the fire started from the inside, but then they became a real fire that consumed the bodies too. Ivok say, but the verse says, Vatochalosam, it consumed them. It sounded like there was something that wasn't consumed. If you say that just the souls were knocked out, so the bodies weren't consumed. But what are you going to say? Yeah, oh, some, they were consumed, a little big they had, but not their clothing. Vinelef, one second, if you're the source that Sreifa here means something internal and not a fire with the whole thing being burned, why don't we learn from Paraman Israfim, from the Karbanot, the oxen that are sometimes burned? where the whole thing is burnt. So mal halan sreifa mamash, just like there it's a real fire, the pieces are thrown into fires. Afkan sreifa mamash. So here where the Torah requires a sinner sometimes to get burned, it should be burned on a real fire. So the Gemara says, no, better to learn from either Nadav and Avihu or from the group of Korach, because mistabra, it makes sense, may adam have leila may laugh, better to compare person to person. Shekein adam, because both of them are people, whereas here we're talking about oxen. And secondly, both of these scenarios, the sinner in the court, or Nadav and Avihu, or the group of Korach, or Chote, or sinners. In addition, a third similarity in both cases, it's neshama, it's where the fire is taking the soul, whereas the karbanot that are burned, they've already been slaughtered, their soul's already gone. Furthermore, fourth similarity, both are not holy, both don't have the option of pigul, of the disqualification of a sacrifice. So the Gemara says, maybe not. Adarab, on the other way, better to compare the criminal to the oxen that get burned. Shekain, because both the oxen and the criminal, machshir, they're fulfilling a mitzvah of Hashem in the burning. And the doros, these are things that go on in all generations, whereas the sons of Aaron and Korach was only in the desert. So Gemara says, well, better to have four similarities than two. Hanach nefishon, these are more. Okay, says the Gemara, ma'adzi alef mi'adas Korach, if you derive that the definition of burning is internal, just like in Korach, you assume it was internal and you learn from there. So my time lo yalef mi'bnei Aaron. So why don't you learn from the children of Aaron? So we said, kasahu sreifa mamashavoy. That was, according to him, they actually had a real fire burning their bodies itself. So v'nelefina, so learn from it, that the definition of fire is to burn the body too. Am Rav Nachman, Rav Baravua, Amakra. So Rav Nachman said, and then Rav Baravua, the Pasuk tells us, v'yahavtal reyacha kamocha. Love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. We have to love fellow Jews. And therefore, the court has a responsibility of Baror lo misa yafet, to find a death that's pleasant. So that's death through the heating of lead, which is more pleasant and less disgraceful than death in a bonfire. So the Gemara now asks, so once you have this pasuk of Yahaf Liyacha Kamocha, Zera Shava Lamali, so then why do we need to derive the definition of Sreifa from another context? So my answer is, you love Xera Shava, if not for the fact that the word appears in two places. Have, I mean, I would have thought, Sreifas Neshama V'guf Kayim. Sreifas Neshama V'guf Kayim, love Sreifa Yikla. That if there's only the chasing out of the soul, where the body is still whole, that's not considered burning at all. I, Mishuma Afluyacha Kamocha, I, there's a mandate that the death should be very as pleasant as possible. So I would say that means lafish lu chavilis maris. There should be lots of tinder wood there so that the fire is very big and it kills quickly. Ki echa delisser flagel, that he should be burned very quickly. Kamash malan, so that's why I need to have both the gzeira shava to tell me that the definition of sreifa could mean the soul being chased out. Plus v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha, that it means that not only is that an option, but that is what is referred to here, and not a fire in a bonfire. So now we mentioned the death of the sons of Aaron, Nadav and Avihu, and here we have a famous Gemara, which gives another reason or further color commentary to why they sinned. So what was the story? It was basically arrogance. Ukvar hayu Moshe v'Aaron mahalchim baderach. Moshe and Aaron were walking on the road. Nadav and Avihu mahalchim achrim. Nadav and Avihu were walking after them. V'chol Yisrael achrim. And the rest of the Jewish people after them. Amalo Nadav l'Avihu. Nadav said to Avihu, Emasa yamusu shnei zkenim alalu. When are these two old men going to die? Then v'ani v'atan anigas ador. Then you and I will lead the generation. Amalein HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So God said, oh, you're waiting for Moshe and Aaron to die? Maybe you'll die first. Hanir emi kovris me. Let's see who's going to bury who. Amar Rav Papa said, Hanir dar minchi, that's what people say. Nefishe gavmli savi, there are many older camels, detini mashka duhungi, that are carrying the skins, the carcasses of the young camels. That the young camels die and the older camels are still continuing. Now, talking about Korach, we said that what caused people to join Korach's group? They wanted the food. Korach was giving food, he was giving drink. So they wanted to be part of this cool group. So Korach is rebelling, they're also rebelling. It all led, unfortunately, because of food and flattery, social group.
Bernie Sanders followers.
I'm Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar said, turning to now Nun Bezim and Bez. Lama Talmud Chacham Domel Lifnei Am Haaretz. You know, what does the Korach think of the Talmud Chacham when he gets him to eat and drink with him? Betchila, when the Talmud Chacham is, you know, independent of the Am Haaretz, Domel Lekiton Shalzav, the ignorant man considers the Talmud Chacham a pitcher of gold. But then Sipur Emenu, once he starts talking with him and becoming his friend, then Domel Lekiton Shalkesef, then already he becomes just a pitcher of silver. But if the Talmud Chacham is eating and drinking from the Am Haaretz, Domel Lekiton Shalcheres, the Am Haaretz considers the Talmud Chacham just to be a tool, a utensil of earthenware, and Kevan Shenishbar Shuvein Lo Tzakana, type of thing that once it breaks, nobody can fix it. He figures, oh, it doesn't need anything. He's not respectful at all. A story. Imrisa Bas Tali, Imrisa, the daughter of Tali, was a Bat Kohen Shezintavoy. She was a daughter of a Kohen. She was married. And she was disloyal to her husband. She was deserving of burning. So, Akvar Rav Chama Bar Tuvia, Chavilis Moros Usrafa. Rav Chama Bar Tuvia surrounded her with packages of reeds, and he lit the whole thing on fire. Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef said, Tabatarti, Rav Chama made two mistakes. Number one, Tabat Rav Masna made a mistake in the law of Rav Masna, who said that this burning is through hot lead. And a second mistake with Tabatatanya, the second mistake was to think that he could give the death penalty. So he was making a mistake about the following brisa. The verse says, "Uvata ala kohen ala kohanim ala viyim," and you are to come to the priest, to the Levites, vela shofeta shoyeh bayamim ahema, to the judge who will be in those days. So that tells you, bisman sheyesh kohen, when there is a kohen doing service in the Beis Hamikdash, yesh mishpat, there can be a death penalty. But bisman shein kohen, but we don't have kohanim doing the service in the Beis Hamikdash, ain mishpat, we have no right to give the death penalty. And therefore, Rav Chama Bar Tuvia had no right to give the death penalty. Going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah related a story. Amar Reb Elazar ben Tzadok. Reb Elazar ben Tzadok said, but I saw that they once made a whole big bonfire. Maaseh b'vas kohen shezintza. I saw there was a daughter of a kohen who was mezana. They surrounded her with packages of reeds and they burned her. So the sages said that was a Beis Din that didn't know the law. They were tzedokim. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, Beis Din shel tzedokim ava. That was a court of tzedokim. They don't interpret the verses the right way. They don't have the gzeira shava, sreifa, sreifa. And v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha, that the burning here only means to drive out the soul, but not to harm the body. So the Gemara now asks, Achi amaluhu v'achi ahadrule. Was this the conversation? Is this what Rebbe Elazar said? And is this what the sages responded to him? V'atani, but we lived in a braisa, a different version. Amar Rebbe Elazar ben Tzadok said, Zuchareni, I remember Shayisi Tino, Kumurkavot Seva Shal Abba. I was a baby, I was a young boy on the shoulder of my father. Veviu Bas Kohen Shezin. So they brought a daughter of a Kohen who had been married and had been disloyal. Vekifua Chavileis Moros. And they surrounded her with packages of reeds. Usrafu. And they burnt her. Amrulo. They said to him, Katan Aisa. Oh, you're telling us what you saw as a child? Emevi and Raiman are Katan. That can't bring any proof from what a child saw. Children misremember. So the Gemara says, Shnei Masim Havu. Both things happened. There were two events. Hayam Alubereisha. Which did he say first? If you first said this story, the one of our Mishnah, so then he said the second story, so I don't understand. He told them something that he had seen when he was an adult, and they rejected it. Then he's going to tell them something that he saw when he was a child, and now they're going to pay attention to it. Rather, first we had the story in the Braisa. He said, I saw as a child that there was a bonfire where they killed the Bas Kohen Shezinta. Amrulay, they said to him, Katana Yita. No, you were a child, that we don't care about. Amrulay, then he came back with a second story. He said, Kishu Gadol, when I was an adult, I also saw it. Amrulay, they said, no, Pishalohaya Bas and Shalosh Shabaki. You saw it in a court that wasn't an expert, a court of Tzedukim. But that's not a proof to anything. Next Mishnah, Mitzvah Saneh Ragim. Yeah, question. Death penalties. Correct. Yes. That's right. That's right. So we're into the Mishnah. Mitzvah Saner. Next Mishnah. Mitzvah Saner Ragim. What's the mitzvah? Or how to put people to death by sword? So the first opinion is, Hayum Atizan Esrosha Besayif. They would knock the head off with the sword. Kederach Shamalchus Osa. The way the government does it. The way the Romans do it. Reb Yudom and Ivalulo. That's very disgraceful to the to the person, because the head is chopped off and the body crumbles. Elamanichin es rosh al asadon. Rather, they put the head on a piece of wood. The kotzeitz bekufitz. And then he uses a big axe, a butcher's axe, to chop off the head. Like a guillotine a little bit. They said to him, there's no worse than that. That's terrible. So Tanu went to Rabbi Samuel and Rabbi Yudah Chacham, and Rabbi Yudah said to the Chacham, I know that my death that I'm proposing is very embarrassing and disgraceful. What can I do? The Torah says, don't follow the ways of the Gentiles. So we can't kill with beheading the way the non-Jews do. For Rabban and the rabbis will tell you no. Hashem told us to kill by sword. We didn't learn from them. So if we don't learn from them, it's not following their ways. If you don't say this, how did time this went in a brisa? That when a king dies, we burn all the property of the king because we don't want another king to use it. It would be disgraceful. This is not considered the ways of the Gentiles. And how could we burn all their stuff? The Torah says, don't follow the ways of the non-Jews. The non-Jews burn the property of their king. We shouldn't be able to burn the property of our king. Ellis, what do you have to say? Came with the Tziv Sreifa Bo Raisa, since the Torah talks about burning, the Tziv, as it says, by Tzidkiyahu. Listen, you're going to die of Mr. Fosa, Vosecham Lachim, where the stuff of your fathers, the kings, their stuff was burned, your stuff will be burned. So therefore, Labinayaka Garmina, we're not learning it from the non-Jews, we're not copying their practices, these are our practices. So it's okay. So Achanami, the same is going to be true in regards to the death penalty of sword. Since the Torah says to kill by sword, we're not learning it from them. So even though the process is similar to what they do, that's not considered following in their ways. Ask the Gemara about it. The other chapter, these are people who get killed by sword. I wrote, say, a murderer, vanshi dachas, or people of a city where the majority worships idols. I understand a city where they mostly worship idols. The Torah says, kill them by sword. How do we know that a murderer gets killed by sword? Answers the Gemara, the pasuk says about a person who beats his slave to death, nakomina came, the slave shall be avenged. So what is the definition of revenge? Kishu Moser, when the verse says elsewhere, I'll bring you a sword that avenges the vengeance of the covenant. So you see that revenge is with sword. So now the Gemara says, maybe the sword is stuck into his stomach and moved around. How do you know that the sword chops off the head? So answers the Gemara. It says, Lefi Cherev. By the mouth of the sword. That's how the people of the Erni Dachas are killed. So that sounds like only with the top of the sword. But if you would stab the sword into him, so then both the top of the sword and the end and the middle of the sword would kill him. That's the sword killing with two heads, not just with one head. Ve'ema, maybe the definition of the sword is to Avid Le Gistera, that he slices the person into two. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Bar Avu, Amar Kra. Again, the pasuk says, "You have to love your neighbor as yourself." Bror lo misa yafa, which teaches us to choose a death that's less disgraceful. Ashkecha. And so, in seconds, so you have a source to katal avda that if a man killed his slave, he gets killed by sword because it says revenge, and revenge is sword. Bar chori minalan. How do we know that if he kills a free man, that he gets killed by sword? So the Gemara says, "V'laf kavachomer." That's based on logic. Katal avda b'saif. If he kills a slave, he's killed by sword. Bar chorin. So certainly, if he kills a free person, he's going to get less of a death. He's going to get chenek. He's going to get choking. So the Gemara says, maybe it's not less of a death. Hanichal amanda amar chenek kal. That's a fine kavachomer. If you think that choking is less than sword, el amanda amar chenek kamer. But if you think choking is worse than sword, so ma'ikal amim. What are you going to say? The Gemara says, Nafkalei, our source that a murderer gets killed by sword, is Titania from the following brisa. V'hata tevar adam anakimi kirbecha. When you find a person killed, the Torah says, knock out the head of the egla rufa, and you shall eradicate the innocent blood from your midst. So hukshu kol shofchei dam le'egla rufa. That means that all cases of spilling blood are compared to the egla rufa, to the calf whose head is chopped off, malahalan b'saifim netzavar, just like over there is a knife, it's from the neck, afkan b'saifim netzavar. So anytime there's death, The killer is killed with a sword in from the neck. One second. There it's using a big kufitz type of knife, and it's in the back of the neck. So maybe here too it's in the back of the neck. How do you know that it's in the front? Beheading. I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Rav Baravua, I'm Arkra again. The pasuk says, V'yachu yachu kamocha, bror lo misa yafet, choose for him a pleasant death, a death that's not so disgraceful and insulting, and therefore it can't mean bekufitz from the back of the neck. Rabbi